Some are tremendously powerful because of having been accepted beliefs for ages by myriads of people and can be either noble or terrible, wicked or good. The good and noble ones may become visible at times to earnest persons as visions. The evil or terrible ones may influence human beings as nightmares, hound them as oppressive fears, angers, etc., or invade as obsessing entities. The thoughts of individuals also create thought forms, which are mostly evanescent. But when deliberately created by one or more persons in rituals and sent out to perform a stated purpose will contain the power of the Creator's concentrated thoughts, desires, and directions. Both black and white magis exist. These thought forms come to have a life of their own but are limited. They usually feel that they have no free will and no goal except to fulfill their instructions, with no concept of good or evil. They can think in a limited way and can speak. Created thought forms. The thought forms I encounter when performing release ments are usually of a negative nature. A number have turned out to be the creations of human individuals, including teenagers, using ancient rituals of magic from old books now being republished. Some of these people started out with white magic, which aims to do good, but, tempted by the feeling of power, they went on into grey magic, using the power for selfish purposes, and then into black magic using the power to control, manipulate, and even harm other people and animals. I call and talk to these thought forms almost exactly as I do to trapped earthbound psyches, but instead of using the idea of love to soften resistance, the idea of happiness is often the key for a non-human entity. Okwon Jokel was a highly talented and intelligent young man, unemployed at the time. He had had a number of streaks of bad luck and felt that negative forces had been directed toward him, starting 2 years previously when he, an entity within her. Although the young lady herself was more than doubtful, she gave her permission for us to release any that we might FMD. Here is a condensation of part of the session. I am calling the strongest entity in Winnie F. She has given permission for you to come, and Lili has given permission for you to speak through her mouth and vocal cords. Won't you tell us your name? While I was speaking, Lili's face began to change into an expression of a snarl, with lips drawn back over her teeth. A snarl was the only answer to the request for a name. I chuckled. That's not a very nice name. A sort of growl was the only reply. I laughed. Is that your real name? I teased. How about if I call you Snorp? The entity replied, growl growl growl. These sounds were a sort of cross between a dog's growl and a cat's hiss, a vocalized hiss, loud and harsh. Now Snorp, why don't you calm down and talk to me properly? Were you ever human? More growls and snarls. You can talk English if you want to. I bet you were never human, were you, Snorp? Put your thoughts into Lili's mind, she will speak them for you. No answer except more growls. Why don't you talk to me? Come on, you can speak English. You know you can. The reason I felt so certain is that thoughts in any language, or none at all, are received by the mind of the channel, translated into English, and the channel speaks them aloud. Snorp could think if he could growl louder, roars were the only reply. I think you were created by someone, weren't you? Is that right? A softer growl seemed to agree with my statement. From then on I asked Lili to use Fmka movements, and through the Fmkas we got that Snorp had not been created by a man. There was a hesitation when asked if he had been created by a woman, with his head sideways as if thinking. He had not been created by a child, but yes, he had been created by a person in a woman's body but whose soul is a child, a soul. I had in mind a certain woman when I posed the question in these words. When the Fmkas said yes, Snorp gave a weird, high-pitched little cry that startled me. I do not know what it signified. Thank you for answering, Snorp. With a few more questions I tied down that the creator of Snorp was indeed that woman I had suspected. Why did she create you, Snorp? Tell me, why did she create you? In a tight, strained voice the entity said, for protection. Protection? For whom? Winnie. Protection from what? I never knew. Is that all you are to do? Mum. There followed a conversation in which Snorp revealed very little knowledge and even less logic. Occasionally he relapsed into growls again. At last, gently but emphatically I said, Snorp, it seems to me your characteristics are dark ones like anger, jealousy, malice, and hostility. Don't you agree? This time he really roared. I laughed aloud at him. W.H. Why did the woman create you and say it was for protection? What is she trying to achieve? The answer held no logic. Snorp, do you represent things that are in that woman, characteristics Yukmar use and anger, jealousy and hostility? Snorp ignored the question. She let me become. Did she use rituals or magic practices to create you? Thought what was that thought, the main thought in her mind when she created you? Snorp paused as if thinking or trying to express, to come, to be in between, to come. When you were in Winnie, what influence did you have on her thoughts and behavior? Onuthers, who came to her, raw, raw, raw. That would make others afraid of her, wouldn't it? He snarled and nodded. Why do you want to make people afraid of her? To protect her, from what? For her. What does she want from Winnie? I don't know. He gave a snort. Snorp, I imagine she told you that you had to do exactly as she told you, didn't she? He nodded. But if you have to do just what you are told, that means you are a slave, doesn't it? Snorp, you do have free will. She should have explained that to you. Before you came I invited some bright beings here, they are in this room. You do have a choice. If you want to feel brightness and happiness, you only have to turn and look at their brightness and feel the warmth. It's very simple. Did you turn to the bright beings? There was a nod. I am so glad for you. Now look at their faces. He nodded again. Look at their eyes. What do you see in their eyes? There was a moment's pause, then he murmured, peace. 204, yes. And would you like to feel peace forever? His murmur was affirmative. Then just go to the bright ones and give your strength to them. You are strong. I asked for the strongest entity to come, and you came. Just MRN your strength over to them to become part of their light to use as they see fit. There was a quiet S on Lilai's face that indicated that all was well. I wish I had given Snorp a new name before he left. Usually I do, or have the entity choose one. This time I forgot. For a similar entity that I encountered some months later, I offered a choice between giving his strength to the bright beings to become part of their strength. This brought a head shake, or holding out a hand to the bright ones and letting them lead him to his own place in the gardens of learning. This was accepted at once. I had the feeling that the entity had refused the first alternative mostly from long habit of contrariness rather than from true aversion. It did give me something to consider, however, even these created thought forms value their beingness. She let me become as for Snorp. When Lilai came back to full consciousness she turned to me and said, weren't you frightened? He would have clawed you, and you laughed. She said he wanted to take her arm and reach out and claw my face with her fingernails. She, however, was in control of her body and would not permit him to do more than make faces and cause jerking of her limbs. No, I wasn't frightened. I knew I had a powerful backup in the presence of our teachers and Christ and the Enlightened One. With those four on our side, I knew there was no danger. We asked once before if you needed more protection in this work and were told no. The same for me. We are protected, yes, but if I didn't trust them and you, it would be a little frightening to me to be just lying in the middle of it all. Having given partial control to the entity and not knowing what it is going to do. But you laughed. Well, I had meditated beforehand that I would somehow know what to do and what to say. Maybe it was the right thing to laugh at him. Lilai had incurred the anger of a man who practices black magic in the area. She would not tell me his name, but she knows where he lives and calls him the man by the river. She had had nightmares about him in the past, and in hypnosis we discovered that he had been attempting to influence her. It was he who had previously sent his stooge to enter and obsess her. When we expelled that strong thought form and it chose to go into the light, the man by the river looked for other ways to harass Lili. As she was leaving after one of our work sessions, she mentioned that for the past 2 weeks she had been having strange, unpleasant happenings in her home, poltergeist type and very crude and unclean, human excrement, for instance, inside a pair of trousers on top of her pile of clean laundry. Nobody else was there, she insisted, not even the dog could have gotten in. Another time, one of the beds was wet and no one was there. Although the hour showed that it was nearly time for her to go, I decided to see if we could find out in a few minutes what this was all about. Lili agreed willingly. She went into self-hypnosis. I deepened the state very briefly and then called the entity. It came at once. When I asked its name, however, the lips compressed and then it sneered. I don't have a name and if I did I wouldn't tell your admin. Its head away and folded its lips still more tightly. To myself I wondered if the man by the river had created this thought form and had told it not to talk to me. Finger movements confirm this suspicion. Lili told me afterward, that although she and I had given the entity control of her mouth and vocal cords, she still controlled her fingers and could give answers through them herself, knowing the entity's thoughts. I gave the entity a scolding for doing crude, unclean, gross things in Lili's home. Then I found myself telling it, in third person, about a different entity who, also stubborn, had resisted my suggestion that he turn around toward the light but grumpily admitted that he felt the light on my behind. Then you know that the light and warmth are real, I had reminded that entity. Now how about turning sideways so it can warm your face a little? And so on. The entity in Lili was quiet during the whole of this story. For a while it covered its eyes, and to my questioning why, said it was because the light was too bright. I assured it that although the light was brilliant, it was never the kind that would hurt the eyes. The fact it was aware of the light was a good sign. To my amazement, the entity was remarkably quick to make the decision to go into the light. When I suggested that it select a name for itself, it paused only an instant and then said, "Sunshine." It had been a very short, about 10 or 12 minutes, yes, and touching transformation. We bade Sunshine goodbye and both of us felt his happiness and freedom. I do not doubt that the man by the river is still more angry with Lili and me. We have been told by our teachers that he is permitted to live and be active but only in his own area. Several persons have been drowned swimming or canoeing in the river at certain places. I imagine that one of those places may be where he lives. He is apparently able to send out thought forms even though confined to his home grounds. Lili and I were told not to bother him, that he is, well, I'm tired. Lot of work putting all that junk out there. Snag, I'm proud of you. It took a lot of courage and strength to do that. Got a big pile now? Grr at big refine. Now you are ready to look around for a light. Do you see a light? It's all around me. Yep. Now go to the brightest part of the light and get a new name. A bright being will come and take care of the junk and will lead you to your own proper place. I can just see M coming, kinda dim, lights so bright I can hardly make M out. Good. Now ask them what your new name is, Ansel, funny name. Okay, now you'll have a lot of fun as Ansel. Go with them into your new life in the white light, Joe, tell me when they are gone. Joe's arm had been rising stiffly, yes. They're all gone. Afterward he said that he raised his arm to point over the horizon where they were disappearing. I did not get to check, for my visit in that town was brief, but I wondered if Joe's speech, which had always been very slow, had become speeded up a bit since Snag's departure. Elementals like this are treated kindly and directively, with firm correction when necessary, not punishment, but correction of mistaken attitudes or logic. They are quite susceptible to suggestion and can be led by judicious praise as well as controlled by judicious reproof. A somewhat more intelligent entity that I believe might be called an elemental was a nameless one that I called Gorf. A young woman told me that she had felt a foreign, undesirable element in herself and had meditated repeatedly, until she felt free of it. Although her meditations had pushed the entity outside, we discovered that it still clung to her aura and affected her moods at times. When I called any entity in Corey's body or attached to her aura, the entity came at once. It was playful, teasing, uncooperative. When I informed it that it did have a choice between going to the darkness forever or else going into the light, it said scornfully, "That's no choice." "Yes, it is," I insisted. "I'll go back to her parents," decided Gorf. "Oh, no, that's not an option. Neither is staying in her aura. Which do you choose to do?" Reluctantly, Gorf finally allowed the bright helpers to pull him away from Corey into the light, but she told me afterward that she was not sure he wanted to stay there. This session took place before I had learned better how to handle resistant entities and before I had learned of intermediate places. Corey also told me that her parents had had years of arguments and disagreements, but that lately they had been getting along much more amicably with each other. She felt that Gorf could well have been part of their trouble in the past and that, as he had implied, he had indeed left them to go to her. Legions, group entities, similar in nature to elementals. In 3 or 4 cases an entity obsessing a client has said its name was Legion. The first time I encountered such an answer I asked for a spokesman to come out and talk with me, and Legion said, 213, we are many but we always stay together as one. Think of a natural sponge, it is one thing, yet it is composed of many individuals. From my background in biology I understood this analogy at once, and so I talked with Legion as with one being and found it a sarcastic, taunting sort of being. "Are you going to send us into the pigs?" it asked, apparently referring to the tale of Christ's sending Legion out of an insane man and into a herd of swine. I was surprised by the reference. "Well, you asked to be sent into them," I reminded it, "so you got what you asked for," said Legion, as if remembering, "I guess we did. And the pigs all drowned, so you didn't get to stay in them very long," I added. I continued with the usual persuasions and Legion was finally willing to change its goals and aspirations and go to the light. But I found myself wondering if Legion had been able to distract even the Carpenter of Galilee and trick him into sending it into the swine with the resultant freedom for Legion after the swine had drowned. Another interesting example of a Legion's nature is revealed by the releasement I performed at the request of a Persian, Iranian, woman for her young son. This request was relayed to me through an American man who knew the little boy. The actual work was done with the assistance of a coworker of mine who channeled, that is, it was a remote releasement. All that I knew of the child's situation was what the American man had told me, that the child had little or no self-confidence. Probably because the mother had so little for herself. Persians as a group have a tremendous martyr complex, he had added. They think the whole world is against them and that nothing good can ever happen to them. I called the strongest entity or soul in young Abu. Please come and talk with us, but stay outside our bodies. 214, put your thoughts into Mary's mind and she will speak them for you. I would like to know your name, Mary. Just say whatever comes into your mind first. Legion, in the Bible we are called Legion. I was surprised to hear this Legion also mention the Bible. How old was Abu when you entered him? He was in the womb. Why did you enter him so early? Well, the negatives in his mother drew us. She was a miserable, unhappy person. She drew us, and he was a good place to go. We stay together. Now we are in him, she may feel some residue. Why did you leave her to go into him? We had no choice. These women with child should know this. Their weakness goes into the child. The child had no defenses. But you forced your way into him, and yet you say you had no choice? We just follow the path of least resistance. There is no resistance in the unborn child, sometimes even the soul isn't there, yet. Sometimes the soul won't come in, and the body dies. Young children, after birth, are vulnerable, too. But the most vulnerable are in the womb. What negatives were in the mother? She was just W/5R(?)? W?2 Are people miserable? Oh, some are unhealthy, some are hungry, some lack money for necessities. There are lots of reasons. Are you what are called demonic beings? Well, we certainly are not angels. I chuckled. We're not positive forces. Some call us demons or devils. Dot. Sometimes when we are in negative personalities, terrible things happen when they become adult. Murders, cruelties, this child just /Z(3/7PAZ5TBOV/CR/M, so negatives like drowning kittens, etc., haven't happened, as yet, but, they could. You are wondering how to get rid of this. Well, this is not our favorite abode, but we will stay here. No, you have other options, but you will not stay here. Will you transform us into pigs? This legion, too, seemed to be referring to the biblical account of Christ's casting out the unclean spirit called legion into a herd of swine, at legion's suggestion. That was not transforming, that was merely transporting you, and you asked for that. I guess we did ask to go into them. You think you can transform us? I don't do it. Higher powers do it, and only when you choose to be transformed. You have free will. I thought we were necessary. You were told that. You were told that negativity had to exist to be a block against which people could push, like the starting block for a runner. But there doesn't have to be any block, there can be a rope for people to pull on to get a good start forward. You were told lies by the father of lies, your boss. There is negative energy, and there is positive energy, and one can be transformed into the other. I think, I went on, that you have been unhappy, miserable, lonely, cold, haven't you? No. No, we feel none of those. We just go where we are called. No problem at all for us. Those are human things, not ours. So you think you are exceptions to the laws of life, that you are exempted from that basic law which states that what one sows, that is what one also reaps? If you don't believe me, ask the Shining Ones. They are here. I invited them before we began this session. There was a short pause. Then Legion said, thoughtfully, they say that we are reaping what we've sown, in this hell that we create. But it's so dark. We don't know any better. We don't know what to do. Yes, you've forgotten it was so long ago that you knew better. Look into your own heart. What do you see there? Look deep under the black, in the very core of yourself, each one of you. What do you see or feel there? Dot. A tiny little pinpoint. It's very pink, pulsating, very pretty, it's interesting. But I think I should explain to you, we are like a sponge, one thing, one being, made up of many individuals but only one. I wondered if Legion was trying to turn the conversation. Yes, but keep on looking. What is happening to the pinpoint? Well, it's shining out through everything, through everywhere. Yes. And now that you can see that, you are becoming transformed. I ask you to invite others like yourself, your peers and subordinates, who may want to follow you and go to the Shining Ones, too. I don't think you can change all of them, dear Louise. Was Legion truly transformed entirely already, or did I detect some sarcasm in this comment? Oh, no. But some may hear our voices and choose to go with you. Some of them will come. Some need to be cleaned up. Dot. Before we go, be sure to tell this woman that she is still responsible for this boy and should get help for herself. She is still miserable. She influences this boy. Legion was trying now to give helpful advice for those whom it had previously harassed. Yes, I'll tell her, I'll get your message to her. Goodbye, Legion. Go with the Bright Ones. You belong to them now. I ended by visualizing, with Mary, that we were contacting Universal Mind and asking that a capsule of protection, volunteer or not, undecided to the very last, raising her hand only when I asked for four. In this case it appeared that Goten knew who he was and where he belonged. I had merely asked that a guide suitable for him come to escort him to his appropriate place. I had no idea where that might be. One other similar case comes to mind at the moment, this one involving one of my sons. I had noticed that some of his actions had been out of character during the past several years and had suggested to him as tactfully as possible that a releasement might be in order. How does a mother tactfully suggest to a grown son that he may be obsessed? To my surprise and relief, he was open to the idea and was willing to be his own channel. In the little session that followed, we found a being that he described as being lizard-like, with intelligence but apparently no real understanding of human sensitivities in some respects. I called the being Lizard, a name that it accepted, and in the course of the short session it agreed to leave and go to its appropriate place. I do not feel that Lizard was one of the animal spirits that help human beings, as in the shamanic teachings. This entity seemed to be like most other invaders that we have dealt with, not part of this person, not belonging to this person. Nature spirits. Many teachers and mystics down the ages have taken for granted that the forms of nature are indwelt by Nama spirits of one type or another, and names have been given to these types: fairies, trolls, elves, leprechauns, salamanders, and so on. The Buddhist scriptures speak of the gods of the trees. The Native Americans speak of the thunder beings. Lili, one of my co-workers, has seen, with her astral vision, what seemed to have been thunder beings. The anonymous British author of The Boy Who Saw True, 1953, once saw a big fairy sticking to a person's aura, and once saw a little man like a gnome in a garden. If we accept that some people have astral vision that the rest of us do not have, we shall respect what these special persons tell us, even if we cannot directly confirm what they say. If they are, for example, able to see certain colors and the rest of us are colorblind to these colors, who are we to say that those colors do not exist? I have met very few entities that I might call nature spirits, but therapists and other people who have met some agree that they do not have the same sense of ethics and morals that human beings subscribe to. That explains the pot of gold at the foot of the rainbow idea: catch a leprechaun, hold him fast until he promises to show you where to find the pot of gold, then turn him loose to lead you and he disappears, and the rainbow forever recedes from you. No pot of gold, concordant elements, spiritual viruses. I asked Harry, a member of our meditation group, to write down what he had perceived as a non-human, non-entity presence during one of our releasement sessions. He did so, and with minor editing I share it here. When one of our channelers was asked to explore whether or not a member of the family had an entity in her that might account for her difficulty with relationships both in and outside of the family, the channeler was informed that there was no entity present. Further exploration revealed that there was a presence, but the channeler's guides knew of no way to deal with it and were not sure there was any way it could be dealt with. At a later date with Louise Ireland Freya's facilitator, I approached the presence. We approached it as if it were really an entity just trying to evade detection. We were clearly informed that this was not the case, and were we to find a way to cause it to leave, it would leave the individual in a very vulnerable position, without effective protection from a worse presence coming in to take its place. In trying to understand the nature of the presence, we explored what it did in a person. It seems to function at the psychological level much as a virus does at the physical level, for which reason we called it at first a psychovirus. More correctly, it functions at the mind, spirit level and enters the person's complex when there is a great deal of emotional content, such as repressed anger, which may be a product of both this incarnation and other past lives and resulting in karma that is unresolved, hence can infect an entire family. This seemed to be the case in this family, where there is a lot of thinly masked hostility. Since I am not a passive channeler, I interact with whatever it is that I channel and hence come away with a lot of feelings about the presence I am channeling that sometimes takes me a considerable time to process. I use the term presence in the most general way to include anything that is present in a person that is not part of the person. I have had several months now, 224, to process what I felt during the channing and would like to share those impressions now. Like a virus, the presence affects an organism when the organism is in a weakened state and is unable to fight it off. A normal person, healthy at all levels, remains unaffected even though a virus enters the system, dealing with the virus easily via the immune system.